Hurra, hurra! Ein Design-Podcast der Burg. Hello.
Hallo.
Hey, Laura. This is the new episode of the Hurra Hurra podcast. And as you heard already, two things. There's a guest. Hello, Laura. And we are doing it in English again. So, hello, Laura.
Hi.
As we've been talking already a bit, maybe can you introduce yourself and tell us where are we?
My name is Laura Drouet. I am the second part of Studio Dots, a duo that is nomadic, that goes around Europe producing exhibitions, workshops, mediation events. And we are now sitting in a tiny office of the Pilnitz Castle, which is hosting the exhibition Plant Fever that we, me and my partner, curated.
Yes, basically, let's go. And you're a designer?
I'm not a designer.
You're not a designer?
Nope. I am. I've studied art history. I have a master in art history, and my second part has studied design in Milan.
And you and Studio Dots. You describe yourself as nomadic curators.
Yes.
What is nomadic curating?
We realize that being based somewhere is, maybe pretty boring first, and then also that we wanted to be as close as possible as our projects, and many of our projects were traveling around, so we had to move with them. So that's how we became nomadic. We moved from cities to cities first, and then we realized that we were better off cities, so we got a van, and now we are moving from villages to villages, mountains to mountains across Europe.
And so we are here for the Plant Fever exhibition and the upcoming summer school in Pilnitz.
Yeah.
Still, I think we have to take in the listeners a bit more on what is everything about going into the rural areas, being nomadic. What is your approach? What is the aim, the output of your research, of the things you do? What drives you to do things you do?
One part of the motivation to this nomadic life is to try out things by ourselves. By working as curators and researcher in the design field, we realized that we were very theoretical at some point and became too much theoretical. Mm-hmm. And that we needed to hold down a bit and do things with our hands, but not like designers would expect to do. Mm-hmm. So we are, for instance, doing woofing. It's a voluntary approach that you give a hand to farmers in organic farms, and in exchange they give you food and accommodation. So that's one part of it that we felt was important, especially because now we're doing a research on rurality. So to be closer to what we are studying is important because we understand it better and we feel part of it, part of the reality. We understand the problems people are having. We see the problems and we deal with the problems also with them as well. We were in the mountains in the Alps 2 years ago, and there were some issues with water, for instance, and sourcing water was a problem. So we were part of solving the problem with just hands and feet. It's just being as close as possible as the subject that we want to study, we feel is important to be more honest and to be more trustful, maybe also from the audience. We feel we've been part of it, so we are more able to transmit what we know better than just having read a book about the topic, I guess.
And so all your works I see it in the curation of the Plant Fever exhibition,
yeah,
and I see it on the project that that are visible online. They always have that nature focus. Everything is related to organic materials, to living matter. Is that a right perception, or is there less or more to it?
Well, Plant Fever was the first real big project we did and was all about plants and was just the sensibility that we have about the these living beings that are plants that are so different from us. And since then it became a kind of a red thread, the plants and also the non-humans word, like on a broader sense. We feel it's important in the age of climate change and all the questions that are arising on how can we survive as humans. And we understand it that having read so many books and having talked with so many philosophers or scientists, that you understand that it's not just about us humans, it's about others as well. And if we want to survive on the planet that we've made nearly impossible to live on, we will need to partnership with others that are not humans. So that's why we're trying to, I guess, organically, we're driven by plants and other beings.
Yeah, that's interesting because there is, it's not long ago that that the term of human-centered design was so big that, yeah, we have to bring in the human, the person, the user, into the center of all our design activities. But now you call it phyto or phyto-centered design, which is a more than human design approach. That is something that sorry, that sounds a bit nonsense in the beginning. So phyto-centered design. So is it like I'm asking quite sharp because I think I understand it, but I want to be a bit nasty on that. But is it about greenhouses?
Greenhouses? What do you mean?
No, but if you say phyto-centered design, so it's everything about the photosynthesis of
in that sense, the emission. You mean?
No. If you call it not human-centered design, where it's all about the ourselves as humans. So, but more about the plants. So, is it a service designed to plants, like building or designing better greenhouses, or is there something more to it that makes it not plant design, but you could have it called plant design, but you call it phytos or phyto-centered design? Tell me a bit more about that approach.
So back in 2017, it's true, when Plant Fever came into our mind, it's true that the human-centered design was something really, really big. And I think it was Plant Fever came up maybe like a reaction against this idea of just thinking about us humans. And because phyto-centered means...
Phyto-centered, all
right. Yeah, phyto-centered means... phyto means plants in Greek. So the idea was to look at design through another perspective, the one of the plants. And little by little, it grew as something that started as, okay, we should design maybe with plants in mind. And that's in the chapter 2 of Plant Fever, we have this explored. But little by little, we developed the concept further and thought maybe that's not enough. And the phyto-centered design should be something more seen as holistic. Way of seeing design that is not taking humans apart from it, but is bringing back humans into the tree of life, let's call it, to make an image, a metaphor or something. So to bring back humans part of the whole thing, because we've been extracting ourselves too much from the whole world that we are part of. And instead we should start co-inhabiting the world again with others, because that's the only way we have to survive and go through the crisis that we are currently going through. I don't know if it's answering.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. By on your website, you have a list of articles that you've been writing for Disenio and for some other magazines and publications, and by reading them, I saw that there are a lot of terms starting with X, like extraction and exploitation, and which is like taking things out. That they've started or that you start to replace them with con and co. That is very, very interesting. So like cohabitation and co-living, and that there is a, or anyway, with these terms, it starts for me to become understandable that there is a shift of meaning and a shift of activity. Things that we take for so granted, like plants, easy materials, I take them. Mm-hmm. But no, there is a difference. They're more than material, as the whole design thing is also more than humans. That's new.
Well, Plant Fever was born out of a reaction against, well, capitalism and overproduction, overconsumption. So we could have another prefix that is over to the list that you did just now. It was kind of a way to say out loud that, yeah, we have a problem with the way design is being produced. All this thing is cohabitation, co-working, co-creating, especially with other beings, is something that is new, but we didn't coin at all. I mean, it's something that anthropologists have been talking about for quite a while now. So this, they've been studying many populations that are not from the Western world that have a relationship with plants or other than humans that are special compared to the one we have here in the Western world. So it was nourished by all these thoughts and observations of other peoples, and the designers have been also nourished by that as well. So like us, it's part of this idea I was mentioning before. This holistic approach to design that would need to understand the others, and of course, once you've started to understand other communities that exist around you, you have to co something with them, because otherwise that doesn't make sense. You cannot keep going on your sides alone. Because I mean, we've been doing this for quite a while now,
yeah, and it's the world than
a dead
the
end
world.
Basically.
And I think it's Donna Haraway coming up with kinship and companionship with others than humans. You said like since 2017 you do the research and curating work on plant centered or what is it called?
Phyto-centered
design, sorry.
No worries.
How did it evolve since that time? Did it change? Did it scale up the whole scene? Well, what happened since the beginning of research on Plant Fever?
Since 2017, it definitely has changed a lot. We've seen like an avalanche of biomaterials, for instance. A lot of designers using waste of industrial production, transforming it into something of value, into goods, consuming goods. And we've been quite loud on that topic. Each time we do a lecture on the topic, we are quite critical because it maybe doesn't make sense to be reusing the waste of a production that is industrial, because it's actually justifying the industrial production. So like, for instance, just to give an example, but we have projects that in Plant Fever that are using the leaves of pineapples, mm-hmm. Out of, so they are being kept after they've been harvested, the pineapple. So the pineapple is used for our own consumption, human consumption, and then the leaves are left behind. And so Pinatex, which is a company, is using these leaves to create a material that is kind of a leather material. And so, and somehow this is very positive, because this is the first step to value a community that is locally working with these leaves in Malaysia and somewhere else around Asia. But in the other hand, it's also supporting an industrial monoculture, mm-hmm. which is pineapple, which we find is problematic as well. So the way designers are also somehow instrumentalized by these big companies that are, monoculture producing, is something that we've been trying to raise awareness on, and instead promote something that would be more pluricultural, that would allow a more less productivist way of thinking.
Yeah,
design.
And you said you've started as a contra to capitalist system, but in that case, the designers support
exactly.
a capitalist system by thinking of doing something else or better.
Which is nice. I mean, I was talking with one of the guides of mm-hmm. the exhibition before, and of course you need one step and then another step. It's always good to be first to be tackling the waste, and then maybe we come later and say, oh, maybe it's wrong to only be doing this, but always we need steps. Of course, we can't change everything in 1 second and one
in a schnips of a finger.
Yeah, exactly. it takes time, of course.
Next to the Plant Fever exhibition, which is very recommendable and everybody hearing that should come to Pilnitz, how long it will be here?
It's going to be this year and next year.
Because so this year is 2023?
Yes, 24.
And 24 as well. That's a very long time for an exhibition.
Yeah, that was the choice of Thomas Geisler, the director of the museum. Mostly for ecological reasons, because it's quite... in terms of gas emission and stuff, traveling exhibitions have a big impact. And that's why we also wanted to do a traveling exhibitions, because traveling exhibitions have a lesser impact than a one-shot exhibition.
Yes.
And the idea of Thomas was to have it for longer periods, so that it would just lower down the impact of the exhibition. So you would be able to see it next year in 24.
And... now there is also the summer school coming up, which is very related to the exhibition, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell a bit about your curating approach on the summer school, as this podcast is also not only about currents in design, but also about the transmission and mediation education of design?
So we were invited by Thomas Geisler to imagine this new chapter of their school. Thomas always wants to have the connection of the school with an exhibition that would be upcoming or that happened before, mm-hmm. So that everything can be learning from each other, so that's in a circle. So that that's why he proposed us this work. We wanted it to be, let's say, because Plant Fever was imagined in 2017, so as you mentioned before, a lot happened between this time and now, so we kind of needed to kind of update it a bit, because a lot happened in between. So we invited some designers that are very new, very upcoming to come, and then also some designers that are also very established, like Fernando Lapos, for instance, so that we would have a mix of upcoming and also very established designers.
So tell me a bit about, for example, Fernando Lapos. You have it in the exhibition as well. Yeah. With the, he's a designer from Mexico.
Yeah.
And what the work that is in the exhibition is about leaves of corn, of like ancient Central American corn. Sorry. So he's doing a workshop. What will the workshop be about?
So Fernando's been doing many researches on several plants in the late years. So Totomox led this project about a maize was one of the first he did. Then he did a project on agave and other plants which lives in Mexico, native of Mexico. And now he's currently doing a long project on avocado. And so we've seen that. And so we asked him to do something with avocado and reflect on the whole world of avocado. And he's been really deeply involved in the research of how avocado is impacting Mexico very deeply.
Because of the water consumption? Or
also in terms of, he will be very much better in explaining it, but he's been researching a lot on corruption and mafia around avocado, also about the environmental consequences of avocado. And the first of the Western word for avocado as well. So all the European and North American word are all asking for avocados as food. He is always mentioning the fact that on Instagram you have avocado everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's very trendy to eat avocado. And he's saying that this trend is having a big impact on people and
well,
on the land in Mexico. So the workshop will be about exploring these narrations of avocado through mostly dyeing, because avocado can give you very nice shades of colors from pink to brown.
From the
from the shell and from the rock inside. Mm-hmm. I don't think you call it rock, but I mean the seed.
Yeah.
So you get very nice different shadows of colors that are from pink to brown.
Okay, so that's that's Fernando. How about Emma? How do you spell her last name?
Emma Bruschi.
Bruschi. Yeah.
She's probably Italian descendants. She's from France. She graduated very recently. And she did a beautiful research on wheat and I haven't got the name in English. Well, it's a cereal that is being produced for consumption. And her whole work is all about, it's very much oriented on fashion and accessories. So she's been diving into very ancient practices of peasant people, like weaving or embroidery or like all these kind of very refined works that have been used by women or men in the past.
Yeah, and the harvest culture, isn't it? Like I
exactly.
saw the images on her website.
Yeah.
Incredibly beautiful images.
Yeah, it's a very refined work that she's doing and very young designer. But very promising. She just received a prize from the Villa Noailles in France. We thought it was nice to have these two as a pendant, like because
they are next to each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, they're so at the same time.
So in the summer school, when people are coming for the first week,
yes,
it's Fernando
meet,
and Emma,
exactly,
and there will be one group working with him and one group working
exactly.
with her.
And both of them are questioning, I mean, they both have the same kind of trajectory, empowering people on a local basis. And also she's hoping to, in the future, becoming a designer peasant. Like that's, I mean, I'm using the word peasant. I know it might be wrong in English, but in French, Paysan is a word that is being pushed forward by agricultures, people who are growing and reading themselves. So it's a very positive word. I want to
be precise. We would say a person living in a rural decentralized area.
Yeah. So her idea, was just giving a precision on the fact that I'm using this word as a positive word and not as a pejorative word. So Emma, her aim at some point would be to become a designer peasant slash peasant, so to mix the two together. So what we felt was with Fernando and Emma was that they really get involved really personally and emotionally in the locality that they work with. And it's to us it was important because the school will be divided in three sessions, and this first session is called Making the Difference, and that was one first step of making a difference, was that to root back, to get back to the land, not in a old-fashioned way or in a Hamish way, because some people are also criticizing this, but in a again, I'm using this word, holistic way of including communities that have been left behind.
Yeah, but looking at her imaginary on the images that she produces, they are so incredibly warm and rich in an aesthetic way. I started to be kind of critical. But isn't it too romanticizing? Some sort of backward thinking, arts and crafts, very low world complexity attitude in a way. So neglecting certain global intersections in that we live in. So, but not. I don't want to blame her for that. This was just starting to come into my mind, but in the same way I was also discussing in my head, no, Christian, chill down, it's it's okay, it's a good thing, let her do that, let that happen as one until now much neglected way of producing, and to accept that things happen in a lower scale, on a slower pace.
There is an anthropologist who's from Macedonia, and he's been publishing in French. He did his research, his doctoral thesis with Vincent Després, who's an anthropologist very famous in Belgium. And his name is Dusan Kazic. And he's been doing a long research on the word productivity, and he went to France searching for these peasants that are not producing in a retrograde way, but that are embracing the world of plants in a new, not in a productivist way, but in a more respectful way. And his whole thesis is all about the thing that we should deconstruct productivity, we should stop productivity because it's the root of the issue, because it's this that is leading us to disanimate. He uses this word, the word of plants and the word of non-humans. So I think it's just the way that she's doing to reactivate it, to reconnect, and also to reanimate things that have been left behind by what we call progress. Maybe it's a very complex subject, of course. And the Dusan Kazic has been really exploring this topic of productivity, saying that it's a dead end really to be talking about this, and to see the world only through this perspective. And I think what she's doing is really powerful, because it's poetic and it's bringing also rituals and poetry back into the design world that has been very extracted from from that, because the whole society is being extracted from all these rituals and poetry that the world around us is built on. So I don't know. I don't know if it's something old-fashioned or. But she's, I think, part of these people who are being, yeah, reactivating this this past, but not like in a nostalgic way, but more into a modern way, let's say, but positively in a way. I don't know if it's
No, it makes sense. And so, but in the second week,
yeah,
you coined the term of shifting perspective.
Yeah.
Who's in the next week?
For the next week, we went a bit, let's say, crazy. We introduced, we went beyond decorative design or, objects or products. We went through music and dance because we feel it's like Plant Fever is based on a very pluridisciplinary approach, so you will not have only designers in the exhibition, but you have also musicians, you have also biologists,
researchers,
engineers, and you also have artists. And we felt it was important to also look at plants in a different way through the perspectives of music and dance. And we wanted to have someone also related to smell, but we had to do choices. We could not have everyone, but dance is very is another way to relate to the world around us that is very powerful. And Simone Kenyon is a interesting dancer. She did a whole project in the mountain of Scotland in which she proposed to put your head upside down and look at the mountain in a different way. So she's really about embracing literally the word of other than humans, and just feel it, feel it with your own fingers and feel it with your own body, and that should be
very material based,
exactly, yeah. But material based without this extraction part. So you have really the body that is being sent back to where it belonged, to the land. So it's again very poetic, but it should be quite interesting also because here in Pilnitz there is a beautiful botanic garden, so it's gonna be all related to that. So it's gonna be a discussion also between the bodies, the free plants, and the plants in the botanic garden, which are kind of in prison, let's say. And then we have the music parts with Passepartout Duo, which is a duo from the US and Italy. So it's a double nationality. And they will be exploring the greenhouse of the museum garden. And look at, like, because there's been a lot of research on music and plants, how music can help plants to grow, or how it's very beneficial for plants. It's always been between science and non-science. It's always something.
Yeah, something para science.
Exactly. And Passepartout Duo will be exploring that through also materiality, because they are very eager to create new music. Instruments. They design a musical instrument using wool and other materials that are very sensitive also in terms of materiality and touch. So it's all about going to be, this session will all be about, a new sensorial approach to plant. Not new, but a different sensorial approach to plant.
And I think if I imagine, I saw the videos of the Passepartout duo, and it's incredibly beautiful what they do. Also, their instruments are very, very nice. And I imagine them in the greenhouse and with the participants. It's not about like the whole making music, but it's more about how does it change to make sounds and generate music in a way. If you are in a totally green phyto-centered setting? Mm-hmm. I mean, how does that change the acoustic output? How do you change making music when cohabitating a space that is dominant by plants? And what does that make with yourself? That's that I think is very interesting.
Yeah, it's
can push the participants to new ways of perceiving nature and their role in relation to what we call plants.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. Yeah.
And the third part is giving back.
Yeah, giving back is the last point of three sessions. Here we invited Susan Bernard and Philippe Coleman, who are two designers who newly came together to create Herba, a new duo. It's a design duo, which they created together. And they are exploring, with Herba, they're exploring all the world of grasses and plants in general.
Herbs.
And here with this workshop, they will be exploring the nettle, the sticky nettle, so the ortica, which is a plant quite common here in Pilnitz and elsewhere. And they will be proposing to weave with this plant new narratives and weave literally with it. And also most probably eat it. So it's going to be...
It's edible.
It's completely edible. Yeah, Olivier, my partner, always do... he likes to do risotto with the orti. But it's a very tasty one. It's also used by women for on herbal teas. Mm-hmm. You can use it when you have... pain in the tummy when you have your periods, you can drink it and it helps cool down the cramps. Anyway, so they will be exploring the value and the hidden secrets of the nettle.
And it's you.
And then we will be, Olivier and I, leading a workshop on curating. Here we proposed the museum to work from the collection. So we will be exploring, we selected several exhibits from the collection of the SKD. The idea will be to talk about, challenge some topics such as colonialism or how do we do an exhibition with plants in mind and the objects of a historical collection. So far, we don't have a place for now, delimited it for an exhibition in the end, but there will be an exhibition that will be developed by the participants in the course of the workshop. So, and the most probably the exhibition will also stay for the next year to enrich the Plant Fever 2024, like other objects or productions that would have been done during the other workshops. So that's something that was really important for Thomas, was that most of the things that would have been produced during this workshop, this school, would nourish further the exhibition, so that next year when you come back there is something new to see and these things that have been produced here. So it's also a circle, basically, that will be part of the renewal of the exhibition.
From the design educator's perspective, it's design centered around plants. And do we learn also something from the plants? Is there a transmission of knowledge coming from the plants? In a way, so in the preparation of that, or preparing for that conversation, I had that question of can plants be teachers? Can they give us knowledge in a way? And can that be a part of the, or is that idea of not being the teacher as a designer or the people that hold the workshops, but as a facilitator to let the plants tell their story and their hidden knowledge.
Well, definitely plants can be. And our teachers, they taught us a lot during this research we did on plant fever. It's Robin Wall Kimmerer, who is a, she's from the US. She's a Potawatomi. She's part of the Potawatomi tribe. And she explains that plants are the teachers, that we should listen to them if we want to change things in the world. And that's what ancient population or population that are still rooted in these systems are doing. Her community, for instance, is still very profoundly being taught by plants on a daily basis. And I think it's very empowering as soon as you start looking at plants and learning about them. Just the simple fact of being able to recognize one in the forest and being able to know that this one is going to help you, as I was saying before, that the nettle is going to help you on a daily basis when you have your periods, for instance. This is empowering for yourself, and it's also a part of this care that we should give to the plants and other beings. Like, if you start being able to recognize them, then you will be able to protect them, or to just at least to know that they exist and that they are important.
Yeah, or to value them.
Exactly. So yeah, I think they definitely can be teachers, and they should be teachers of more people around the, especially in the Western world, that we have the tendency of overlooking at them.
Laura, thanks a lot.
Thank you very
much. For that conversation, and for everybody listening, I strongly recommend the exhibition Plant Fever in Pillnitz, and for all the younger, for the students and people who are interested in...
not just for the younger.
Yes, that's why I just exactly said, like for the for everybody interested in attending the workshops that that we talked about, have a look at the website from the Design Campus. It's in the show notes, and come and apply, and we will see you here.
Yeah. In person, really.
In person, yeah. It's a, we are post-COVID, hopefully.
Yeah, and we will be here, me and Olivier, the whole period, camping with the van.
Camping with the van, with the Mofi?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, thanks, Laura, and seeing you here during the summertime.
Yeah.
Hurra, hurra, ein Design-Podcast der Burg.